The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, we discussed in yesterday's programme a little bit whether Donald Trump would actually take military action against Iran for its alleged involvement in an attack on two Saudi oil facilities, damaging about half the daily output from that country. Before we talk to Cal Thomas and Larry Donnelly, let's hear Trump say a little bit more about that.
Well, we have a lot of options, but I'm not looking at options right now. We want to find definitively who did this. We're dealing with Saudi Arabia. We're dealing with the Crown Prince and so many other of your neighbors. And we're all talking about it together. We'll see what happens. But I will tell you, that was a very large attack. And it could be met with an attack many, many times larger very easily by our country. But we're going to find out who definitively did it first.
Can we clarify, Mr. President? So you said that you think that Iran is responsible for the attack. Do you think that...
I didn't say that. Why do you say that? I said that we think we know who it was, but I didn't say anybody. But certainly it would look to most like it was Iran, but I did not say it the way you said. Go ahead.
Do you think it was launched from Iran?
You're going to find out in great detail in the very near future. We have the exact locations of just about everything. You're going to find out at the right time, but it's too early to tell you that now.
Now, Cal Thomas, I believe your phone line isn't great today, but I want to ask you first, I mean, even if it is Iran that was responsible for attack on Saudi Arabia, what business is it of the United States to get involved in any way?
Matt, I totally agree. I'm going to prize you. I think I would be very much close to any unilateral military action. I think that this is a battle that is between largely Saudi Arabia and Iran. We've given them, sold an awful lot of military equipment. Let them military attack if it is so warranted. I mean, the Middle East is always so volatile. Any spark could produce an enormous explosion. Iran is going to attack Israel. Iran is threatening to take this to the United States to attack us here. The president ran on withdrawing us from these military conflicts, and he conflicted about it, but if he doesn't move, it's without congressional approval.
And Cal, I'm sorry, the line is so bad, we're finding it very, very hard to hear you. I'm just going to go to Larry Donnelly in relation to this. What do you reckon, Larry, the chances are, though, that the United States, given the closeness that the Trump administration seems to have to the Saudi Arabian regime, might get itself involved?
Yeah, well, one can only hope not, I suppose, is the important thing to say at the outset. I would think that the chances are relatively remote because what might follow from it doesn't really bear thinking about. And I think Cal put it well based on what I think he said, which was effectively that Donald Trump is boxed in here. He can't be seen as the person to be bellicose and shouting and then to back down immediately. But on the flip side, one of his big appeals was he was going to do policy in the Middle East very differently. And he knows full well that the American public has absolutely no interest in a conflict in the Middle East. So if they were able to do some kind of strategic launch or something like that, that's one potential outcome. But all we can do, I think, is hope that cooler heads prevail. And we see in this the real conflict within the Trump White House. Even his own Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, would be very, very much more hawkish about Iran than Donald Trump and Donald Trump's own instincts. So, again, we see lots of conflict and lots of contradiction in the response.
Yeah, but just before I go back to Cal, and we're trying to get him on a better line, Jared Kushner's involvement as well, the president's son-in-law, a man with no real foreign policy experience, but lots of business links to Saudi Arabia. Does that perhaps suggest that Trump might be pushed into doing things that are not necessarily in America's best interests?
All we can do is certainly hope not. I mean, Jared Kushner has absolutely no business being in any role advising the president about foreign policy or, for that matter, many other issues. To the extent that his business interests might tailor, I suppose, guide his thinking on that's even more troubling. So, all we can do here is hope for cooler heads to prevail. And, you know, look, one of the things that Donald Trump did, which was a very bad move, was to remove the United States from the Iran nuclear deal. And it's this chop and change foreign policy that is underscoring the idea that we don't want conflict, but on the other hand, ratcheting things up on the other. That's what makes this so unpredictable and dangerous. And again, I would say this. I mean, Donald Trump's animating impulse has always been that the U.S. fights wars around the world and doesn't get credit and shouldn't be involved and should look within itself, etc. I would hope that he would stick to those instincts rather than to the very, very dangerous sentiments exposed by neoconservatives like John Bolton, who's left the White House, but whose spirit arguably lives on.
Okay, Cal Thomas, there's something else I want to ask you about, and hopefully the line will be better. More than 1 million school children in New York City have been given permission to skip school on Friday without any punishment so that they can engage in climate change protest. What's your opinion of that?
Well, Matt, without getting into the issue of climate change, because I know we have a disagreement on it, what other cause would the New York City public schools allow kids to skip school? This is a dangerous precedent and could come back to bite them. I'm more interested in whether kids can learn to read and write and do mathematics than getting out and demonstrating in fear or against things that they've been basically told only one side. I like to see them get exposed to the other side of this climate change business. But, of course, the public schools in New York City, that's not possible.
Larry Donnelly, Cal, I think, wants equal sort of debate on both sides of the man-made climate change debate. I think most people at this stage think that the science is pretty settled, although I know he disagrees with me in that. But what about the point that maybe it isn't a great idea to let children out of school to become involved in protests? Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about letting students out of school in that sense, especially as Cal says, it is a fair point about underperforming schools in New York. That having been said, the reality is I think we should welcome activism and engagement in politics and other things from our young people. And indeed, some of those who are most critical of people taking, of young people taking a stand on climate change are the very people who are prone to say that they're so apathetic and the new generation are snowflakes and all that sort of thing. And then when they do take a stand, they get fired back upon. So in some ways, I have some sympathy for the young people. They can't win. If they move one way, they're snowflakes. If they do another thing, they've gone too far and they're going in the wrong direction. So look, I think we should welcome activism, and I think the young people are doing it, sending an important message, because as you say, Matt, the science really is settled on this. We can have disagreements about the rate of global warming and how catastrophic it might be in the near future, but the science really is settled.
I want to stay with you for a second, Larry. Remember, a lot of people remember Brett Kavanaugh from being confirmed as a Supreme Court judge nearly a year ago now at this stage, and made all sorts of allegations about his behaviour in his college years, allegations of sexual assault. There have been more allegations. Now, tell us about them and their credibility, please.
Yes, well, this was a report in the New York Times, I think a preface to a book that's coming out, which revealed that there was another party when Brett Kavanaugh was at Yale, in which he allegedly exposed himself to a young woman. Now, there's all sorts of issues around this. First of all, the claim was rightly made that the FBI declined to investigate this charge, which was in the ether at the time of his confirmation hearings. But on the other hand, the woman who is alleged to be at the center of it doesn't recall the incident and didn't wish to speak about it. So we have all sorts of conflicting accounts. And what do we have in the context of a presidential election is immediate calls that now Brett Kavanaugh should be impeached, that that's the track that they should go down, that Ayanna Pressley, who's a congresswoman and close to AOC, is going to introduce articles of impeachment. The question becomes, is that to the Democratic Party's advantage going into congressional and presidential
elections?
But also,
there is a question. Is it also fair to Kavanaugh, whatever people might think about him, this is a story in which the alleged victim didn't want to comment in the New York Times, and friends said she doesn't remember the incident, as you've already said. So that's hardly conclusive proof that he's guilty of anything. And given that it is merely an allegation, should it even be aired?
No, and I think the New York Times absolutely jumped the gun on the story, and I think that the political candidates jumped the gun equally. The key thing here is this issue in the defense of Brett Kavanaugh does fire up conservatives and does get them ready for the battle, and that's something the Democratic Party is going to have to ask itself. And I note that Dick Durbin, who's in the leadership of the United States Senate Democrat, has said we got to get beyond this impeachment is the answer to every problem idea. The Democratic Party in an election year doesn't want to be known for that quality. And again, they note that this fires up Republicans and the impact it might have on the Democratic Party. I think they're well aware of that, especially in battleground districts.
Okay. Cal Thomas, in relation to this, is it the case that Kavanaugh could probably do anything just short of murdering somebody at this stage and he would be defended by Republicans?
Why the Democrats? Because they couldn't get
Sorry, unfortunately, that line, unfortunately, again, Cal, I have to say, is at sea. So he is actually trying to make contact with us via satellite, which is why the sound is so poor. So we will leave that on that. I want to finish off with something that was mentioned by Niall in the 5 at 5. And that was the performance of the former press secretary to Donald Trump, Sean Spicer, on Dancing with the Stars last night. Yes, that's the name of the programme. Have you seen the video clips of it that are circulating online, Larry?
I have indeed, and I can only say to listeners, please go ahead and look at it, because
it's like... you describe it for us, Larry. Describe his outfit and what he did on...
It was outrageous colors. He was playing bongo drums, and he was trying to do salsa dancing, and I think one of the judges described his feet as being like cement. He didn't do himself any favors. I think he had a good laugh, but he certainly didn't do well in the showing. I said to earlier that Sean Spicer is braver than I, but then I did a bit of research and discovered that there were about 180,000 reasons as to why Sean Spicer, I think, decided to go on Dancing with the Stars.
The green Philly shirt is a sight to behold as well. But I thought it was a bit unfair. I thought it was the greatest performance to the biggest audience ever on Dancing with the Stars, was it not?
I think he got a bit of a laugh out of it. And whatever you say about Sean Spicer and some of the misrepresentations he might have made, he seems like a guy who can have a laugh at himself. And I think that's a good quality and an important one in politics these days more than ever.
Well, he's another example, though, isn't he, of people using the platform that they get from politics to enrich themselves afterwards.
Yeah, and it's an extraordinary phenomenon in the United States. And if you look at all the different things that Sean Spicer has going on, they're all built upon his rather disastrous and rocky tenure in the Trump White House. Yet still, it's made him an awful lot of money, made him a very wealthy man.
Thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word to FM. Larry Donnelly, our apologies for Cal Thomas's phone line. As I said, he's on a cruise ship at the moment. That's getting a satellite connection for his phone.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.